Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
How about a hand for the band? Let's go. Who made some new friends today? Okay. All right, getting to know your cabin a little bit. Okay, everybody point to the funny person in your cabin. Oh, yeah. All right, everyone point to the sweetest person in the cabin. Oh, yeah. Everyone point to the happiest person in the cabin. Okay. Okay, last one. Point to the sleepiest person in the cabin. Oh, yeah. Don't worry, you'll get to go to bed. Don't worry. Okay, open your Bibles up to the book of James, which we know is a letter. It's a book in that big story, but it's a letter from our brother Jimmy. Brother Jimmy! Okay, I'm excited because tonight we're going to start getting into what Brother Jimmy is actually telling us about how to be a follower of Jesus. Let's do a recap, though. James, next slide, please. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote a letter, which is part of God's big story about Jesus. No one went back to the cabin and ripped your Bible apart, did you? Okay, don't do that because it's convenient. It's nice to have it all glued together, okay? Even though they're separate books. But we're in the book of James. I know, I ripped it just for illustration purposes. It's a speaker that... No, I didn't. Absolutely. No way. Hey, can I tell you guys something? This actually will tie into what we're going to tie into tonight. Talk about tonight. There are people in places in the world where it is against the law to read or have a copy of the Bible. And one of the things that people, that Christians will do in those places is that they will rip a page out of the Bible because it's easy to hide a page. They'll fold it up really small and then they'll go home and at night they might open it up and they'll try and memorize that whole page of the Bible. And once they have it memorized, they'll throw it away or burn it in a fire so that the authorities, the police, can't find that evidence, right? But they're hiding the Word of God in their heart. So the Bible is very important, and don't destroy it to be mean to it. No way. But the most important thing is that you take what's in it and put it inside you, okay, where God's word can be in your heart and you can have it all the time. Okay, so that was our recap. But tonight we're talking about this letter from James, okay? Brother James wrote this letter to encourage believers all over the world. And you guys know that when you write a letter, there's a recipient of the letter, right? If you write a letter to a friend, if you have a pen pal, you would put that person's name on the outside of the envelope and their address. And then when they open it up, they would see some kind of greeting like, "Dear so-and-so," right? So who are the recipients? If we said that James wrote a letter, who is he writing to? Well, let's go back and check that out. So if we look at James chapter 1, and it's right there in verse 1. So he says, if I can find it, almost there. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Now the 12 tribes, that's just a fancy way of saying all the believers. There were 12 tribes of Israel. And he's saying that all the people of God who are throughout all the world, this is who this letter is for. So he's writing it to all Christians. But why are they scattered? Why are the recipients of this letter spread out? Why aren't they in just one place? Does anybody know? Let me ask you this. Was it easy to be a Christian right after Jesus rose from the grave? It wasn't. It was not. In fact, just like I talked about a second ago, it was illegal to be a Christian. If you were found to be a Christian, you could be thrown in jail. You could be beaten up. Under a very bad circumstance, if you were convicted of heresy or speaking something untrue about God, which people thought Christianity was untrue, you could be killed. In fact, there's a story in the Bible in the book of Acts about a guy named Stephen, and he witnessed to Jesus as the risen Savior, and a man named Paul, who wasn't a believer yet, or a man named Saul, actually, approved the killing of Stephen. People threw rocks at him until he died. Can you believe that? And that persecution, that's what it's called when people fight against you for a certain belief, like believing in Jesus. That persecution went on for a couple of hundred years after Jesus was born or resurrected. So can you imagine believing that Jesus is the true Messiah, that God loves you because he sent Jesus to die for your sins, and having such good news, but then having people be so mad at you for believing? Now, we're all at camp, right? And everyone's having a good time. Would you guys agree? You're having a great time at camp, okay? Yeah. And we get to have fun, and we get to make friends, and we get to learn about the Lord and sing and be happy. This is like one of the happiest times of your life, and it's so good, and it's not wrong to be a Christian here. It's good, and we love coming here because we have friends who also believe in Jesus, and it's wonderful. But James is writing to people who were in very different circumstances. They were people who were suffering because they were Christians. Now, let's read from verse 2 through verse 8 of chapter 1, okay? And if you have trouble reading and listening, it's okay to just listen to me read if you want, but if you'd like, you can follow along in your head as I read this, starting at verse 2, okay? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Now, that's a weird way to start a letter. Have you ever had someone tell you, oh, you're having a bad day? You should be glad. Oh, you fell down and scraped your knee on the playground? Rejoice. I know. Look at what James said. Consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, who knows what a trial is? Okay, back there. What's a trial? It's kind of hard to, maybe we hear of like a court or something like that. Yeah, what's a trial? Okay, a test, yeah. So you can go to trial in a court of law. It's a test to see if someone's guilty. Usually it's a hard challenge, right? It's a difficult thing. And think about these things that the people that James was writing to had to go through. Here were their trials of many kinds. They were poor. Often Christians were very poor. They weren't liked by other people in their society, especially like the Jewish believers, okay? In fact, sometimes a family would be split up. Parents would kick a kid out of the house if they said that they believed in Jesus. They could be arrested. Okay, this is so crazy. There were people who actually got fed to lions in Rome. They had real lions, like real huge cats, and they put them in a big arena, and everyone, they'd eat popcorn while people got ate by lions. Isn't that crazy? That's horrible. Yeah, bud. Oh, hold on, shh. He's got something to say. I don't know if any kids your age die. I'm not sure about that. But sometimes I think families got raided maybe by the authorities or the police, and so maybe they got arrested. I'm not sure. But loss of family, they could be tortured, okay? Now, I have to admit, as much as I love Jesus, if someone came and said, I can throw you in to be eaten by a lion if you say you believe in Jesus, boy, that'd be hard. Would it be hard to stand up for Jesus if someone threatened your life like that? I'm just being honest. I wish I would say, yeah, bring the lion on. Let's go. You can start with my leg. Okay? But I don't know that I'd be that brave. It'd be really hard. Or if I knew that I could lose my family because I said I was a Christian, if maybe my wife would leave or my parents would say, you're no longer our son and we're never going to talk to you anymore, would I still be a Christian? I hope so. But boy, it would be really hard. And James is saying, you know what? When you go through those hard times, be glad because God is strengthening you. God is putting you through a trial so that you can mature and become strong no matter what. But think about the trials that you guys go through. You're not going to be fed to lions. Thank goodness. But think about some of the hard things that you guys might go through. Maybe your family doesn't have a lot of money. And maybe you don't get the same things that other kids get. Or maybe you even at times go hungry. Maybe kids at school don't like you for whatever reason. Maybe mom and dad fight a lot, or they got divorced. Maybe you're going to move to a new school, and that's really scary because you don't know if you're going to have any friends there. Maybe you got hurt. Maybe you broke your arm, or you found out that you have a sickness or a disease or cancer or something, and that's going to be really hard. Maybe you lost a loved one, like a grandma. Or like when I was a kid, I lost my mom when I was 5 and a half. Told you guys about that. Maybe someone told you that God wasn't real. And now you're not sure if it's okay to tell people that you're a Christian. Or maybe you're even wondering, maybe they're right. If one of these trials or something similar has happened to you, will you raise your hand? Have you had anything like this? Okay, so you guys know. You know that life is sometimes hard, and we go through things that are very difficult. Here's what happens to us in trials when we have these big problems. Big problems make us ask big questions. Big problems make us ask big questions. I bet some of those people who were thrown into the lions, they thought, how could you do this to me? I thought I was doing right by believing in you, and now I'm going to lose my life in a scary way like this? Where are you, God? Why won't you rescue me? Those are big questions, aren't they? But what about your big questions with the things that you've gone through? And maybe you've asked some of these questions before. Is God real? Does he love me? If he loved me, why would I go through this? Why wouldn't he keep my parents together? Or why would he let my grandma die? Or why am I sick, Lord? Do you not care about me? Or maybe you believe that he loves you, but he's not fixing it. So then you're asking God, can you really help me? You say you want to be my friend and that you're the creator and that you can do anything and you're all powerful, but why won't you fix this? Why won't you take it away? I've asked those questions in my life. When my mom died, I can remember walking around the playground at my school. This was a few months after she passed away. And I was so angry, and I was alone. I felt alone, and I just could not understand why God would let my mom die. And I can remember walking the outside path. Everyone else was playing, and I was walking by myself around the outside of the playground, and I was asking God big questions. I wanted to know what he was doing and why he would let something like this happen to me and my dad and my brothers and sister. Now, here's the thing with big questions. It is totally okay to ask big questions of God. And if you go through and read the Psalms, remember that poetry stuff we were talking about? A lot of those are all about big questions, where the person is writing something to God and they don't understand and they're frustrated and hurt and wondering and they're crying out to God, God, why do you let this happen? Why do the wicked get away with things? Where are you? It's okay to ask those big questions. But a big question can turn into something called a doubt, okay? Big questions that turn us away from God are called doubts. So it's okay to have a question. And the beautiful thing about Psalms is that the Psalms are written to God. They're going to God and they're asking him for wisdom or for help. It's like a prayer. But there are some times when we have a question inside of us and we start to doubt God. We start to wonder if he really is real. And rather than going towards him, we start to go away from him. And it's like in our mind, we say, is God real? And the doubt says, no, he isn't. That's why he doesn't answer you, because he's not real. Do you love me, God? How could something so hard be in my life if you really love me? And our doubt inside says, because he doesn't love you. He wants to hurt you. I know. Can he help me? No. He can't help you. If he could, he would. I know it might be hard to admit this, but has anyone ever had a doubt like that? Going through a hard time? Yeah. So it's okay to have a question, but the questions can turn to doubts when they start to turn us away from God, when they start to make us not believe that he is good and that he's real and that he loves us and he wants to be there for us. And so James says, don't be a wave, okay? He doesn't want us to be a wave. Now, I need some volunteers, okay? But this is who I need to volunteer. I need cabin leaders or camp aides who are very grumpy and have a water bottle, okay? So if you think your cabin leader is very grumpy and has a water bottle, send them on up here, okay? Yep. Man, these guys are ogres. These guys are so grumpy. Okay, come on up. Can you guys grab the other end of that thing and help me spread it out here? Okay. Okay. Come on up. Come on up. Okay. All right. here's our ocean. Okay, here's our ocean. Now, I need a cabin leader who is the nicest, sweetest cabin leader. You guys decide. I think I got one. Right here. Oh, well, okay. Paper, rock, scissors. Paper, rock, scissors. Okay, what's your name?
I'm Lily.
Lily, come on up here, Lily. Okay? Now, Lily is our Christian, okay? She believes in Jesus. She has Jesus in her life, and she is trying to live a good life. Oh, what is it? What? Okay, all right. Okay, Lily. But life is a little bit hard. It's kind of like paddleboarding. So go ahead and step up on this paddleboard, okay? Yep, there you go, okay? Life is a little bit like paddleboarding. If you stay balanced, it's cool, and it's pretty fun, right? But have you ever tried to paddleboard in wavy conditions? Not so easy. I just went on a vacation, and my wife and I went paddleboarding on Lake Superior, and we thought that it was very calm, but there were foot and a half waves, which aren't that big of waves. And guess how many times I fell into Lake Superior trying to paddleboard in 1.5 foot waves? 6 times, okay? 6 times. I know I'm not that good, but it still felt like a lot, okay? So you are trying to live life. You are going to try and stay on the paddleboard, okay? But what we have around her are grumpy doubts, okay? So spread out doubts, okay? Grab a corner of the tarp, spread out nice and far, okay? And now you guys need to get off the tarp. Because you are going to grab the tarp like this, and you guys are going to be waves, okay? Yep, just like that. Okay. Now go ahead and splash her a little bit with a little bit of this water, okay? Because, I mean, she's out there in the waves. Just watch the piano, okay? All right, okay. Okay, stop. Okay. Now imagine that you are like Lily and you're trying to live a good, balanced life. But she starts listening to the doubts. God isn't real. God doesn't really love you. Okay? Yeah. If she starts listening to them, it gets harder to stay on the board. Okay? Now, I think we should let the doubts go crazy. What do you guys think? Okay. Without touching her and without getting any of the equipment wet, see if you guys can get her off the paddleboard. 3, 2, 1, go! Okay, woo! There. Oh!
Yes.
Get on the board! Get back on the board, Lily! Oh! Now, thank you, doubts. Well, this is what's going to happen, Lily. You stayed balanced. How did you not let the doubts affect you on the board? What did you do? Yeah.
I had to hold on.
You had to hold on. Did you believe the doubt when it said that God isn't real?
No.
Why? What do you know in your heart and your mind?
That God is real. I have faith in him.
You have faith?
Yeah.
She has faith that God is real. Hold on. What about when this hulk of a doubt splashed water in your face and then said, God doesn't love you? What? He said God doesn't love you, and what do you know?
That God does love me.
That God does love you. How do you know that God loves you? She has felt his love. She has faith in him. Have there been any Bible verses that tell you that God loves you?
Yeah.
And you know those, so many, because you've been reading your Bible. Absolutely. So when she's getting splashed and the doubts are rising up, if she can say, No, because I know the truth and those doubts fall away. And it's like calming the storm, okay? Thank you guys for not injuring her or ruining any equipment for the sake of that illustration. Thank you, Lily. Okay. So, listen up. So James tells us, hey, don't be like a wave, or with our illustration, don't be like a paddleboarder who is on the ocean of doubt getting splashed and moved all over the place. Instead, have faith. And when those doubts come up, next slide, please. Is God real? Yes! Say it with me. Is God real?
Yes!
Woo! Does he love me?
Yes!
Can he help me?
Yes!
Absolutely. Now, that's really easy to say. Guys, listen up. That's really easy to say in chapel at Miracle Camp. It's a little bit harder to say when you go home or you're in your trial or things are getting difficult. But that's why we have the Spirit of God to help us. That's why we have the Bible to teach us. That's why we need to fill our mind with truth and not with things that cause doubt. Because if we do so, then we are stable. James says that the person who doubts is unstable in all their ways. They get pushed back and forth. Instead of going to God, they go to all sorts of other things. They try and be super cool, or they do bad things, or they mouth off to their teachers or their parents, just trying to figure out how to live life instead of listening to God. I loved what Lily said when I said, what kept you on the board and helped you? And she said, I have faith. And that's exactly right. Big faith beats big doubts. If you're going to write something down, write that down. Big faith beats big doubts. And there's going to be times in your life when you need big faith. So work on building it. And I love this verse from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And this is probably a quote from Psalm 55. And if you want to read that, I'd encourage you to read it. But Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's one of those awesome verses that you can carry around when you're going through a hard time. You can always remember, I can tell God anything and I can ask him for any help that I need because he cares for me no matter what. And he might not take the hard thing away exactly, but he's going to make me stronger in it. He's going to make me a better person if I get through this. And let me tell you, even though my mom died, and even though I prayed that God would bring her back alive again as a little kid and that I could have my mom again, things happened to me because my mom passed away that changed me forever and made me a better person. One was that at 5 and a half, I had to have a really serious conversation about what happens when we die. And I had a moment on that playground when I was asking God those big questions that he flooded my heart with a sense of his realness that I still think about today. And I went to a new school that I think was better for me. And I got two brothers that I wouldn't have gotten otherwise. And there were lots of things that God did through that. Now, did I wish my mom came back? For sure. For sure. But God made me a different person because of what I went through. And now with people who have lost a parent or gone through a hard thing, I can understand it. I can be there and be a friend for them because I know what that's like to go through that. And so God uses the things that we go through to make us better. And that's why James says, rejoice. Count it all joy when you go through these things. But don't be a doubter. Have big faith. Okay? Let's pray, and then you guys can go to your discussion groups.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.